Good evening. Welcome to worship as we celebrate the eve of Epiphany 4, and a special welcome to our guests and our visitors. We pray that our time together as we worship the Lord, our Savior, the Christ, will be a blessing to you, and that as we go forth tonight, you'll be that extension of God's blessing and grace to others as well. We have an annual meeting following our service of worship, so when our service ends tonight, we'll have about a 3-4 minute break. You can use the bathroom or get a drink of water, whatever you need to do, and then we'll gather back in here, and we'll be able to celebrate all the things that God is doing in the life of his beloved Emmanuel. A few announcements I want to highlight for you. The February church newsletter and prayer calendar. They're not on the back table, and for a reason. We wanted to put the highlights from our annual meeting tonight in the newsletter. So that will be mailed out electronically tomorrow, and then paper copies will be available as well. But just so you know, that and our prayer calendar, we're waiting until the new council meets tonight so that we know what their February meeting date is, so we can put that on the calendar as well. If you're not included on the prayer calendar and you would like to have your name on there, please let us know, because Emmanuel is a place where we take prayer seriously, where we pray for one another, and so I believe in the power of prayer. That's why I walk this building every day for a half hour praying for you and for others, and knowing that many are praying for me, for Julie, for my sister Barb, and other saints as well. This coming Wednesday, men's Bible study here at Oasis at 11 a.m. Please come, men, if you're able to do so. Otherwise, the other announcements are found in your bulletin, and I encourage you to take note of those. You'll see on the back, for example, it says, "Hark the voice of Jesus calling." That song will be sung to a different tune. So please take note of that too. It isn't that Marianne is playing the wrong tune. She's going to be playing to the tune of "Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee," but the words are beautiful. Okay, I think that'll do it. I'll invite you to rise as you are able. I want to walk as a child of the light. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In the beginning was the Word.
And the Word was with God.
And the Word was God.
And the Word was life.
And the life was the light of all people.
The Word became flesh and lived among us.
And we have seen his glory, full of grace and truth.
Our scripture song, Word of God, come down. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, giver of all that is good, through the power of your Holy Spirit, you abundantly bless your children with gifts for the building up of the body of Christ. Empower us to recognize and value the gifts of others, and through the strengthening of faith, use our own gifts for the work of the kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated for the hearing of God's word.
The first lesson is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, beginning with verse 4. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, 'Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth.' But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say, I am only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord.' Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, 'Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. But you, dress yourself for work. Arise and say to them everything that I command you. Do not be dismayed by them, lest I dismay you before them. And I, behold, I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar, and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 31. "I will show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for our gospel verse. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And Jesus went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. And in the synagogue there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, "Ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent, and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed, and they said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. And Jesus arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever. And it left her, and immediately she rose and began to serve them. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to Jesus, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. And when it was day, Jesus departed and went into a desolate place, and the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. But Jesus said to them, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." And Jesus was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Congregation may be seated. If I have not charity, if love does not flow through me, I am nothing. Jesus, reduce me to love. Love. We love because God first loved us. Jesus speaks about love. Jesus embodies love. We in our American culture throw love kind of freely around. Sometimes it's infatuation or friendship or family. Sometimes it's sexual or it's erotic. All kinds of love. But you see, the Greeks, they were able to be more precise when it came to love. So in our scripture readings, when we hear Paul speak in 1 Corinthians 13, or when we hear St. John, for example, speak about love, they don't use just a white label generic word for love. They use the word agape. Beloved, if God so loved us, agape, then we ought to love, agape, one another. So what does agape love look like? How do we identify it? What is the source of this love that is proclaimed and distributed in Scripture, embodied in the body of Christ, and then sent out lavishly into the world? What does love look like in your world? There was a convenience store, a Super America gas station convenience store, and there was an elderly woman in there. She had a cane. She was walking tenderly, very slowly, hard to get around. She was up at the counter, and she had pulled out her coin purse, and there was nickels and dimes and quarters and a few pennies, and she said, "Here." And he counted, and he said, "That's $3. She said, "I'll get $3 worth of gas, please." And standing behind her was a police officer. And the police officer saw this as he was about to pay for his own coffee. He thought, $3? That's not going to get you very far. She went out. She's walking slowly. He paid. He's following her out. He gets out by her car, and he says, "Here, let me put the gas in your car for you. You know, you had to pay before you pump." Well, he puts that in there, and she's talking to him and saying, "Thank you, officer, for doing this. It's very kind of you." She said, "My husband recently died." She said, "I've got so many bills." She said, "I can't keep up on it. In fact, it just keeps getting worse. It gets harder and harder. Thank you for helping me today." And when he had put the $3 in, the pump shut off automatically, and he said, "Just a second, I'll be right back out." He went inside, and he handed the attendant a $20 bill. And he said, "Here, I want another $20. And he went out, and he put the extra $20 into this woman's car. What does love look like in your world? What is love, and what is not love? Agape love doesn't calculate and say, "What am I going to get out of this?" Agape love is not interested in lording it over someone else and winning at someone else's expense. What does love look like, taste like, feel like in the world in which you live? What is love and what isn't love? This past week, it was my mother-in-law's birthday. Diane turned 87. She's in a memory care unit. And before her husband, Don, passed away, he was in the memory care unit with her. Those are not easy days. My wife went up there to see her mother, to have a birthday cake there for the resident. And she took our youngest grandchild, Hope, with. And they were wearing their masks, and everybody's been fully vaccinated. And it's interesting to see what happens when someone has memory issues, dementia. Because my mother-in-law, Diane, she's just enamored with little Hope. They were walking down the halls together. And here's Grandma Great holding the hand of little Hope. And then caressing her hair. And they get into her apartment area there, into her room. And Hope says to her, "Grandma Julie, we can play a game with Grandma Great." And Julie says, "Grandma Great won't be able to do that." And little Hope says, "But I can help her. I can show her." And she does. She says, "Grandma, you see this shape? Grandma Great, you put that over there." And she does. What does love look like? I've seen it. I've tasted it. When it's pure, when it's agape, and when it's not, when it's ruthless, and when it's destructive, when it tears the body apart rather than building the body of Christ up. I saw it, for example, when Don was still alive. Don and Diane. You know, when you get older, sometimes you have accidents. You know, you got to change the diapers of a baby, and sometimes as we get older, we might have to wear things, and someone else might have to rescue us from our accidents. And I would see my wife taking care of her father and her mother when they had soiled their clothes, and washing them and bathing them. This is what Paul is talking about, my friends. When he speaks to the Corinthians about gifts and the still more excellent way, He's talking about real love, genuine love, Jesus love, unconditional love, love that goes to the cross, serving love, sacrificing love, agape love. That's what God has given you and me. Because all other forms and shapes of it won't save us. We need God's agape love. That's what Paul is proclaiming. When the Corinthians are fighting and bickering among themselves, confused about what love is, a young man having sexual relations with his stepmother, and Paul says, "And you just turned a blind eye to this?" Well, but we need to love everybody. That's not love. That's not even kindness. What does love look like in the world in which you live? When you've tasted it, when you've touched it. St. Paul tells us what love is and what love isn't. He says, pursue, seek the still more excellent way. And then he tells us what love isn't and what love is. I was in confirmation a number of years ago. I mean, a number of years ago. Pastor Eugene Weckander was my pastor. And I still remember to this day one of our Bible lessons we had in confirmation, and it was on 1 Corinthians 13. And it left for me a mark on my faith and a mark on my understanding of the Corinthian letter that no seminary could ever erase. Here's what Pastor Eugene Weckander did. He said, "You've all got the same Bibles out there, study Bibles that were given to you by the body of Christ, the church, your family here." So he said, turn to 1 Corinthians 13. He said, we're going to read it out loud together in unison. And every time you see the word love, I want you to put the name Jesus in there. Every time you see the word love, put the name Jesus in there. And so we did. And by the time we got to the end of 1 Corinthians 13, we realized what we were being taught, what Paul was teaching the Corinthians, what God's word is saying to us when it's put in our mouths, like the prophet Jeremiah. This is agape love. And there's no way that we can even get close to understanding this kind of love if we don't know Jesus. It's as plain and as simple as that. If we don't know Jesus, then we're not going to know what Paul is talking about. And we're not going to begin to comprehend what the saving gift of Christ is all about. It's the cross. It's the death of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. And there's no other way to the Father. See what love the Father has given to us? Agape. That we should be called children of God. And that's what we are. And we know that when Christ appears, we'll be like him, like Jesus, because we'll see him as he is. And in the meantime, everyone who hopes in Jesus purifies themselves as he is pure. Agape. God's agape love for you is Jesus. Love isn't always pretty. And sometimes love can be quite messy. Michael Renninger is a Catholic priest. He serves a Catholic church in Virginia. And recently he was sharing a story. It was a story about growing up and being influenced in his faith by his grandma and his grandpa. I don't know what that's like. I only grew up with one grandparent, but my grandmother, she shaped and formed me so significantly. Michael says, I was 19 years old, and I was at college in Philadelphia. My grandma and grandpa, they lived in a row house. They had both worked really hard their whole life, and now they were retired. So I would go and check in on them on a Friday night on my way back home. And he said, there's two things you need to know about my grandma and my grandpa. Grandpa, in retirement, loved to watch the Philadelphia Phillies, the baseball team, even though they disappointed him. He'd sit in his kind of lazy boy lounger, and he'd watch those games. And my grandma, she was the bingo queen. She went to one church on a Monday night to play bingo. She went to a Legion place on a Tuesday night to play bingo. She even went to a Jewish synagogue on a Wednesday night to play bingo. And then, shortly after they had retired, something happened. My grandpa, he said, had a stroke. His whole one side was paralyzed. He couldn't move it. Not the leg, not the arm. And he couldn't speak, and he couldn't swallow. So grandma took care of him. And he had to have a feeding tube with this kind of green, goopy stuff. So he says, one Friday night, I'm stopping by, and there's the row house, and I go up there, I open the squeaky screen door, and I go in, and it's kind of dark and gloomy in there, Michael says, and as I'm looking in there, suddenly I realize, what's going on here? He sees his grandpa in this kind of recliner, and he's covered with this green goop all over, his face is red. It's dark and dreary in there, and so Michael says, I thought it best that I just simply step back quietly, grab the door, and not let Grandma and Grandpa know that I was there. But that screen door was squeaky. And as soon as it squeaked, Grandma looked up and she said, Michael? Michael, don't you dare! Michael, don't you dare leave! Michael, don't you dare leave! Because this is what love sometimes looks like. What does love look like in your life, in your world? Because if you taste agape, you're not going to want to exchange it for anything else that's a counterfeit. You're going to want the real thing. And the real thing is none other than Jesus Christ. I mean, Paul, he uses that rule of three. Did you notice it? I mean, you can speak in all kinds of languages, you know, be an oratory expert, but if it's just to show off, if it's just to bring attention to yourself, if it's not rooted in agape, in love, so that you're blessing other people, what's the point? And then he says, well, let's say that you can play lots of instruments, and let's say that you have the ability, because of God-given faith, that you can do what? Well, move mountains, explain mysteries, do miracles. But again, for what purpose? To show Jesus? Or to show off yourself? Because if it's not rooted and anchored in Jesus, in his agape love, it doesn't mean squat. And then Paul does the third one and he says, let's say you're really generous, that you open your checkbook and you give it all away for the gospel. Let's say that you even sacrifice your own life, trading places, if you will, so that someone else can live. But it's not done in love. It's not done for the praise and glory of Jesus. What's the point? It's a sham. Love, agape, love, is patient and kind, not jealous, not envious, not boastful, not arrogant, doesn't insist on its own way, doesn't rejoice at the wrong, it rejoices at the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love, agape, Jesus never fails, never dies, never ends. Agape is the forever love of Jesus on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. Faith, hope, love, abide, remain, these three. but the still more excellent way for you and for me is Jesus. How many of you watch Hallmark movies? You watch ever watch a Hallmark movie? I have some dear friends. The husband has passed away. When I would go and visit him and his wife out in Tacoma a couple years ago, he would go to bed early, and then his wife and I would watch some of the Hallmark movies. We kind of did that together. She was like another mother in my life, just a dear person. And so at Christmas time, you know, there must be at least, what, 100 some movies? Hallmark Christmas movies, right? In 2018, there was a movie that was made called Once Upon a Christmas Miracle. Maybe you've even seen it. It's actually based on a true story, a story that I heard about way back in like 2015, 2016. And I thought, I want to find out a little bit more about that story, because I heard about it in 2015, 2016, but this is 2022. So that's the wonderful thing about computers, you know, you can Google things. And I found out the rest of the story. I mean, I knew, for example, that it was two strangers, that, well, it was a match made in the doctor's office. It was a match made, we know, in heaven. Two strangers. It was a story about a woman named Heather, and Heather Kruger, in March of 2014, was diagnosed with stage 4 liver disease. And later that year, the doctor said, you have less than 2 months to live if you don't get a liver transplant. Meanwhile, she's on the phone one day talking to her cousin, who happens to work at the same place that a young man by the name of Christopher Dempsey works. And he hears the story about this young gal is going to die if she doesn't get a donor. He thought, well, what if that were me? Someone I love, somebody that I was close to, my family. Wouldn't I want someone to step up? So he decides to go in and get tested. He doesn't even know this person. And none of the family members of Heather were compatible. But Christopher Dempsey was. How do you figure that? Well, I know how God figures that. So he gets introduced over lunch, and he says to her, this would have been the end of 2014, he says, I'm going to be your donor. She says, why would you do that? You don't even know me. I'm nothing to you. Why would you do something so selfless? Sacrificing, putting your own life at risk. Why? He said, because it's the right thing to do. It's the good thing to do. It's the loving thing to do. Well, in March of 2015, Heather and Christopher went into surgery in the hospital in Chicago, Illinois. 8 hours of surgery, 55% of his liver was removed and was transplanted into Heather. 2 months of recovery. And during this time, guess what happens? He realizes that this stranger is someone that God has introduced him to and has formed and fashioned a love with and a love for. So 2 weeks before Christmas in 2015, he's going on a romantic, horse type chariot things, you know, there in Chicago, they're going on this, and he proposes to her. And they get married in October of 2016. And I thought, well, what's the rest of the story? And someone else was evidently interested too, because it was made into a movie. And what about since the movie? Well, they got married, and they bought a house, and they were adopting a child. And the story continues. Because see, agape love is not intended to be short-lived. Agape love, the love of Jesus for you and for me, is to be permanent, forever. That's what we mean when we say we believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. We believe in the forever love, the agape of God, given to us, and now given through us. This is what Paul is saying. There is still a more excellent way. So seek it. Pursue it. And don't settle for something that isn't Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I invite you to rise as you are able for our song of the day. It's found on your insert also, and remember, it's to the tune of Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. We continue with our confession. In Christ, you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
We believe in him and are marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit.
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Build yourselves up on your most holy faith.
Pray in the Holy Spirit.
Keep yourselves in the love of God.
Look forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ.
If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation.
Everything old has passed away. Behold, everything has become new.
God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, let us be reconciled to God and to one another. Gracious God,
have mercy on us.
In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Sisters and brothers, rejoice. Mend your ways. Encourage one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
And tonight and in the days ahead, as it is wise and safe to do, share that everlasting love of God, the agape peace of Christ, with others. You may be seated. I remind you that we receive our offerings in the offering basket in the back. Some people use PayPal, some have electronic giving. Lots of ways, lots of places where God's people support the good news of Jesus Christ. So I thank you on behalf of Christ for your generous spirit. We continue now with our prayers.
Let us draw near to the throne of grace, offering prayer and supplication on behalf of the church, the world, and one another. Heavenly Father, sometimes your holy word seems stern and offensive, but in Jesus you assure us that every word which proceeds from your mouth is good. In him your never failing love is fleshed out for us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we can thank you for every word you speak to us. Help us to model, however imperfectly, your perfect love for your people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
In your church, you have appointed prophets, martyrs, pastors, bishops, teachers, and ordinary saints to speak your word and to lead all people to new life in Christ. We pray that your church speaks your word boldly, acts fearlessly, and mirrors your love, revealed to the world in your beloved Son. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Let this congregation overflow with words of praise to you and deeds of love toward others. Help us to be rich in patience and kindness and to be lacking only in resentment, irritability, and self-promotion. Let everyone know we are Christians by Jesus' love, which touches them through us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
With authority and power, Jesus drove out demons, healed the sick, and forgave and raised up people held in bondage to sin, evil, and death. In his name, we pray for all who suffer from any kind of affliction, especially those we name before you now.
Gracious Father, we bring before you and ask for your healing presence, for your comfort, for the restoration of joy, for James Putio, for James Glesney, for Amy Cooper, for a little girl named Ellie, 2.5 years old, Lord, with leukemia. Grant her grace as she goes through treatment. We pray, Lord, that you would be with Tina Williams, with Ted and Dar Stephenson, with Barb Stephenson. We pray for comfort, Lord, for the family of Mike Conley, the family of 16-year-old Matthew Dewar. We pray also, Lord, that you would be with Margaret and Leroy Quam, as they grieve the passing of his sister Elaine, that you would continue to comfort them. We pray, Lord, for the family of Mary Martins. We pray also, Lord, for Sheldon Beery, for his brother-in-law Jerry Olson, for Norm and his family as they grieve the death of his son Teddy. So many people, Lord, we just pray for your comfort, your healing, your presence, and your grace.
Be their rock, their strong deliverer, and their hope. Strengthen all who care for them and grant them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We commend into your care our loved ones who have died and are at rest in you. Comfort those whose grief runs deep. Help us to be gentle, patient, and kind to one another so we can endure whatever afflicts us in this mortal life. Lead us with all whom you have redeemed by your dear Son into your kingdom. There let our faith become sight, our hope become joy, and your love become our all in all. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For all these things, dear Father, and for whatever else you desire for us in your wisdom and compassion, we pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior, Lord, and King.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please rise as you are able for the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Our going forth song, O Lord, now let your servant. Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.